I opened my mouth and began to call out in the steady cadence of the summoning. My voice rang hollow in the wind and rain, muffled but strong, and I poured some of my will into the words until the power in them began to make the air ripple around them as they flowed from my lips. There in the darkness, I reached into the spirit world to call up one of the deadliest beings of faerie. And the Earl King answered. One moment the circle was empty, then there was a flash of lightning, a crash of thunder, and a disembodied black shadow appeared on the grass within the circle. The shadow of a tall, standing figure with no physical presence to cast it. I barely stopped myself from flinching and breaking off the summoning chant, a mistake that would have freed the Earl King to leave at best and freed it to kill me at worst. But I recovered myself and kept up the litany all the way through to the end. When I finished it, my voice had risen to a strident, silvery clarion, and on the last word, lightning flashed down from the storm, green and white and eye-searing. It struck down upon the circle, slammed against it, and then scattered out around the circle in a hissing matrix of electricity and steam and magic, defining the cylinder of the magic circle in a sparkle of greenish light that rose up into the night for a moment and then faded away. When it was gone, the shadow within my circle was no longer alone. The Earl King stood better than 8 feet high. Other than that, it looked more or less like a human, dressed in close-fitting leathers and mail of some dark, matte black substance. It wore a bucket-shaped helmet that covered its face, and the horns of an enormous stag rose up and away from the helm. Within the slit of the helmet's visor, I could see twin gleams of amber fire, and as those terrible eyes settled upon me, I could feel the presence of the being behind them, like a sudden raw and wild hunger that pressed against the outside of my skin. I could feel the Earl King's lust for the wild night, for the hunt, and for the kill. Lightning flashed again, and the rain came down harder, and he raised his arm slowly, dismissing me and stretching his body up to glory in the storm.
It is time, mortal. Release me.
The words suddenly appeared in my head without going through my ears, scarlet and glowing and scalding. This time I did flinch as the Earl King's will sent meaning into my thoughts like a well-thrown spear. I tore my attention away from that lance of thought and spoke aloud in reply.
I will not release you.
The glowing eyes within the helm snapped back to me, flaring larger and brighter.
I am no beast to be lured and trapped, mortal. Set me free and join me in the hunt.
Images came with the thoughts this time. The rush of rain and wind in my face, raw hunger in my belly that I was about to sate, the strength and power of my body and that of the mount beneath me, and the glorious thrill of the chase as the prey fled as it was created to do, testing my strength, speed, endurance, and will while the night called and the storm raged around me. To my surprise, there was no sense of hate in it, no twisting bitterness of despair. There was only a wild and ferocious joy, an adrenaline sense of excitement, of passion, of savage harmony, red in tooth and claw. I barely managed to pull my thoughts back into my own control, grinding my teeth and reminding myself that I was kneeling in Murphy's backyard, not pursuing game through the forest primeval. The Earl King might not be evil incarnate, but that didn't mean that he wasn't far too dangerous to be allowed to go free.
No, I growled. I will not release you.
His amber flame eyes narrowed, and he dropped slowly into a crouch, knees bent, his fingers resting lightly on the grass just inside the barbed wire. Those eyes were barely 3 feet from mine, and he considered me in silence that swiftly became a torment of suspense.